Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for joining us for a very, very exciting service today. I'm so blessed today to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank God for everything that He's doing. Thank you for His mercy. Thank you for His grace. Thank you for His loving kindness and His faithfulness. Now, we have started with the book of Romans, and we're going to continue as we're on a journey through the book of Romans for a few months. But I believe we're going to be so blessed. We're going to be so transformed by this amazing message from the Apostle Paul. And I just know Paul is going to, it's going to bless us every week, week in, week out. We're going to be totally blessed, not because I'm the preacher, but because Romans is a very, very powerful book. We're going to understand so many things, as I reiterate again. There's so much understanding that's going to come, revelation that's going to come, transformation that's going to come with it. And I know that God is going to bless us. I pray today that the word will have the power to transform us and to change us into that which God has predestined and planned for our lives. And so as we're going to dig into the word of, into the book of Romans again, we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 8. Romans chapter 1 from verse 8. The Bible says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I have planned to come to you, and I have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." So let's bless the word. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you, Father God, for the revelation. I thank you for the insight. I thank you for the transformation, Father, that your word will bring in and through our lives. I thank you today, Father God, that your word is a great, great blessing to us, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that in your word there's life, there's light, there's understanding, Father. I thank you today, Father God, that you will fill my mouth with your word, so that I will speak only that which you instruct me to speak. And I pray, oh God, that I will declare the oracles of God in Jesus' mighty name. The oracles. Amen and amen. So we're going to start as we begin to work our way through this book, amazing book of Romans. Today I would like to speak about Paul being passionate about the church, But if I could subtitle this message today, I would like to say, "Fire shut up in my bones." Fire shut up in my bones. So following a word of greeting and affirmation of Christ, Paul reveals his sincere desire for the church at Rome. Although he had never personally visited them, he was very concerned with their well-being and longed to labor alongside them in ministry. The desire wasn't reserved for the Roman church alone, but clearly Paul was passionate about their well-being. His desire for the church ought to challenge and encourage us as well. We live in a day where the majority has a take-it-or-leave-it attitude regarding the church, and most have little to do with it. Many people are not active members in the church. Many times we have churches filled with people, but very little times we have churches filled with active members in the body of Christ. In fact, it is even difficult to generate passion and excitement for the church among those who regularly attend, because people are dead wood. There's no desire in man to serve God anymore. People has lost that passion. People has lost the desire. Some has not even started off with the desire, because many has coming to being born again because of the benefits of salvation, but not because they wanted to meet the God of these benefits. That's a scary story today. That's a scary statistic in the body of Christ, that we have about 10% of the people doing the work in the kingdom, and we have 90% sitting on the sidelines, criticizing and saying all the things that I want to say about the 10% that is giving their all for the work of the ministry. So we need to change that stat. And I pray today that through this word, there will be a burning desire in your heart to not just be somebody that's on the sidelines, a spectator, but somebody that's going to be a participator, somebody that's going to be involved, somebody that's going to get into the things of God, somebody that's going to say, I want to sign up. Where can I fit in? Where can I start serving until I find my purpose? Here we have a man burning with a passion for the church. To many people, they view the weekly activity or responsibility, weekly church attendance, as an activity or responsibility rather than a life that we are called to live. They see it as a responsibility or just some type of activity in their lives. I must go to church on a Sunday, but there's no real desire to be in the house of the Lord. And Paul is going to stir up our passion. And Paul is going to teach us some things from his life, and we're going to learn from that, and that should stir up our passion for the work of the Lord. I pray that we will develop a passion for the church and the work of the ministry as Paul had that passion. Somebody needs to declare with me. Say, Lord, fill my heart with a passion for your church. Fill my heart with a desire to be in your church. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I want us to examine the priorities Paul discloses in the text as we consider this particular message of passionate about the church. But as I said, my subtitle is like burning fire shut up in my bones. First, Paul starts off with gratitude and thankfulness. It is evident that Paul is thankful for the church at Rome and the work they are engaged in. Very thankful, very grateful for what God has been doing in the church of Rome. Now, this is a church, as we said earlier, one that Paul did not plant, but this is a specific church that Paul had a desire to go to. He really wanted to come to visit these believers. And at the end, he did end up there. But we're not going to go there right now. We're going to look at how Paul addresses this particular church and how Paul speaks about this church. And it's something that really strikes me. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul was thankful that the church at Rome was active in their faith. The first thing that I asked myself when I looked at this particular thanksgiving of Paul is that when people look at you, and we represent the church individually, and then we also represent the church corporately, when the world looks at the church, can the world truly speak about your faith, my faith, and our faith? Is our faith at the place where people are speaking about the faith of the church? I don't think so, because many times when we read the tabloids, the news, when we read articles about the church from the world, most time it's criticizing money laundering, scams, or things that they believe are happening in the body of Christ. But here Paul says that even the world, and at this time Rome was a very powerful city, and all roads led to Rome, and people spoke about the faith of the church in Rome. If I am, as a senior pastor and a leader of this commission, KR Ministries, this would be one of my greatest desires, is that people will speak about the faith in the church. People will speak about the transformation. Yes, we will get our critics. Yes, we will get people that will badmouth and speak things because they will try to find something in the house. But I would be so pleased if people can meet me in the street and say, you know what? I met this person from your church and I am so blown away by the faith they have in the Lord. By the faith they have in the Lord. And that should be our prayer, church. That should be our desire, that people should compliment us as the body of Christ concerning our faith. So this church was serving the Lord, but their services wasn't kept only within the four walls of the church. In fact, they were reaching their communities and the uttermost parts of the earth with the gospel. Therefore, we are going forth, home cells, connect groups. We are reaching out through open ears. We want to impact our community even on a greater scale. We want to believe God for greater work. We want to impact the surrounding areas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It seemed that if As if everywhere Paul traveled, he was hearing of the faith. So people were speaking. People were publicizing the church of Rome because they saw the activity of the church. These people were not just proclaiming their faith, but they were living their faith. They were not just speaking of the goodness of God, but they were representing or presenting the goodness of God to a lost world. People saw them as little Christ, if I could just say that. You know, they acted as little Christ, little anointed people. They went around being anointed people of God, carrying the message in not only in word but in acts and in deeds and in everything that they did. They were committed to sharing the gospel and reaching the world for Christ. Therefore, I cannot rest, I cannot sleep. We want to preach this gospel around our city, every street, every place. We want people to hear about Jesus Christ. We want to go forth to the uttermost parts of Strand, to the uttermost parts of the Western Cape, to the uttermost parts of South Africa, then to the uttermost parts of Africa, then to the uttermost parts of the world. But I'm telling you, we are burning with a passion, church. We need to go forth. The Bible says in Romans 16, verse 19, but everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. I love the scriptures, man. Paul is just bringing something so amazing out in the book of Romans. He says, you know, listen to this. He says, I know everyone knows that you're obedient to the Lord. When people look at our lives, can people say that about us? Can people say that they see obedience? Can people say that you're walking in obedience? Can people look at our lives and say, truly, these people are obedient servants of the Lord? And this makes me very happy. Listen to Paul. He's a pastor. He's a shepherd. He's an overseer. And he wants people, you know, when people speak good about your children as a parent, you feel proud. You feel good about it. And this is how we feel as pastors when we are out there in the community and people walk up to us and say, we know what? We thank God for what you're doing. Now, we know there are haters out there and some haters will not come with good news, but some people can just not deny your faith. When you're walking uprightly, when you're walking as God wants you to walk, it's going to be impossible for people at many a times to criticize you because their criticism is going to be false witness. They're going to be bearing false witness. Come on. They're going to be bearing false witness and they will stand ashamed because even though they will say bad things about you, your works will testify about who you really are. Listen to what he says further. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong. So he encourages the church. He says, you know, I want you to be wise and you must continue to do right. Continue to do right. And I want you to be innocent of any wrong. So he doesn't want us to be criticized for wrong things. And the Bible speaks about all of these things, you know, gossiping, backbiting, and carrying stories and being all that type of things that the Bible doesn't want us to be a part of. And this is how he encourages this amazing church in Rome. And I believe that this is what God wants us to do, is that we should be innocent of all or any wrong that the world can put on us. Amen. And this should challenge us as children of God. Is our faith and service to the Lord spoken of within our community, within our family? Is people looking at your life and they can speak about your faith? Can people speak about your God? Can people speak about your lifestyle? Can people look at you and say, truly, this is a child of God? Come on. People mustn't just respect us because we are churchgoers. People must respect us because they can see Christ in us. We are glory carriers. We are carriers of Christ. Do others even know that we exist? Therefore, as a church, I'm telling you, we will get criticized. We will get condemned. We will get persecuted. People are looking for things in communities to speak against churches that are active and moving. And that is where we find ourselves, even as Kingdom Revival Ministries, because we are out there on the streets evangelizing, making Christ known. And so we want Christ to be made known. But even as individuals, are you making Christ known in your school? Are you making Christ known in your universities? Are you making Christ known wherever you are staying? Does people get to know Jesus because of you? Does people even know you exist as a believer? Or are you an undercover agent? We need to get that clear. We need to get that right. Does people know you even exist? Does people even know that you are a child of God? Are we sharing our faith? And are we reaching people for Jesus? And that's why we're having the connect groups. And that's why we're having home cells. That's why we're having outreach programs so that we can reach the lost. Just the other day, we had a powerful open air. I mean, There came a whole group of people. I think there were more than 30 people that came out for prayer, needing prayer. And God started touching and moving upon those young girls. They were weeping and crying. They needed help. They needed an outcome. They needed God to be, for God to move in their lives. Come on, church. We are the voice of God to this lost, dying world. We need to go out there and we need to reach people for Jesus Christ. Come on. We need to reach people for Jesus Christ. Paul says, for God is my witness to myself with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul assured the church that they were continually in his prayers. Do we pray for people? Do we spend time praying for people? Do we pray for the body of Christ? I spent time with a man of God and he was sharing his testimony with me. And he said, you know, I pray for myself, I pray for our church, and then I pray for the body of Christ. Do we only have self-centered, selfish prayers? Are you lifting up your voice for those who are in need? Are you praying for the church? Are you praying for the lost? Are you praying for brethren in the body of Christ? Or is it because we are covered, we covered what others have, that we never ever able to pray for them because we want what they have and so we don't intercede for them? And here we find Paul had a burden. He had a burden for the church. When last did you pray for the pastors of your church? When last did you pray for your leaders? When last did you pray for your connect group leader? When last did you pray for the people? All the praise is me and I. But Paul didn't have that attitude. Paul made intercession. And this was the character of Christ, because today the Bible says Christ maketh intercession for us. And Paul carried the same heart. Do you pray for people? Do you care about anybody else's well-being? Does anybody else's well-being matter to you? Or is it all about God bless me, God bless my house, God touch my children? When last did you pray for someone? Here we see a man that carried a burden not only to preach in churches, a man that did not only want the stage or the pulpit, but a man that totally or truly carried the heart of God. He knew God was at work in the midst and he prayed that the work would continue. We need prayers, church. The man of God, we need prayers as pastors, as leaders. We need prayers as a church. We need people praying for us. I'm telling you, the lesser you, you will criticize less, or you will even criticize, you won't criticize so much anymore when you begin to pray more for your people. Because there's a saying that says, you know, that I cannot gossip about who, I cannot gossip for who I'm praying for, and I cannot pray for who I'm gossiping or about who I'm gossiping. It's impossible. And we need to get that right. And we see this man carrying a fire and a zeal because he didn't want the work to stagnate. He didn't want the work to stop. Paul had a desire that, listen, we need to preach. We need to, the work needs to continue. The Roman church needs to take the gospel to the uttermost parts. And I'm going to be one that's going to be pushing them in prayer. I'm going to be pushing them in prayer while I'm not with them. Even though I cannot see them, but I know prayer carries power. I know prayer carries power. Come on, somebody. There's prayer power in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul felt an obligation to pray for their continued growth and success in Christ. He didn't look from a distance and being jealous and wondering, you know, if I could only be a pastor of that church, if I could only be a leader, if I could only take this. No, Paul was continuously praying for their success. Paul was continuously praying that they should overcome, that they should grow, and that they should have this genuine desire to do the things of the Lord. Amen. He genuinely desired greater things. Are we praying for those in the body of Christ? Are we genuinely desiring for people to excel? Are we genuinely desiring for people to grow, for people to come into that place of fulfillment, come into that place where God wants them to be? Is this truly in our hearts? Children of God, we need to get to the place where we pray for the church. In this last days that we are living, the church needs prayer. Our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and India and all over the world, they need prayer. Our brothers and sisters, even in prosperous nations like America, they need prayer. Each of us should possess the same commitment for fellowship. We should offer continually prayer for the needs of our churches where we are attending. We should pray for our pastors. We should pray for our leaders. Come, I tell you, you won't know. Paul even said it at times. He said, pray for me. Here was this man that spent all his time praying in the Holy Spirit and praying. And so this man was energized and charged because he built himself continually up in prayer and in the Holy Ghost. But here was a man that still said, pray for me, because he understood that the power of united prayer, what it will bring and the transformation it will bring. He knows that when we batter the gates of heaven, that what will happen when we all come with requests and we begin to lay out our requests and we're all praying about the same thing. He knows how it is when two shall agree upon earth in touching anything. It doesn't matter the distance between us, but when we are agreeing in prayer, it shall come to pass. Glory be to God. Somebody needs to say amen. Somebody needs to say amen. We need to continually pray. Our prayer shouldn't be limited to the needs we have, but we should be offered for the church as a whole throughout the world. The body of Christ must learn to pray for one another. We must learn to stand together. We must learn to fight this battle on our knees. We must pray. We must pray the prayers of faith that will bring change. We must pray the prayers that will boost my brother and my sister, that will cheer them on. We are. You know, sometimes we cannot do this financial support. We cannot do some other things. But when we pray for each other, this is the most powerful thing that can happen when we pray for one another. Listen to what Paul says in verse 10. Paul's request was making request, if by any means, now at length I may have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul had this desire, man, to go to the church in Rome. He burned. Do we have a desire for our community? Do we have a desire genuinely for the person that is lost? Do we have a desire, come on, in our home cells, in our connect groups? Do we have a desire for our neighbor to get saved? Do we have a desire, like Paul, to come to them? Are we praying, Father, open up that house down the road where they're selling drugs? Maybe we can have a home cell there. Father, open up that house where there's a broken family and they need help. Lord, let us go there and get an invitation and open door so that we can work and pray with this family. Do we carry that desire for the world and for the lost? Hallelujah. As we will look at this, Paul had a great desire to labor alongside the church in Rome, alongside the church. He prayed the Lord would allow him to join them at some point. Paul wasn't content to simply pray for the church. He longed to be there with them and join in their efforts. That may appear elementary to some of us, but it reveals a great truth we need to take a hold of. Certainly prayer is powerful, and we ought to pray for the church, but there should also be a desire to work within the church. Many times we have people saying, I'm there with you in spirit. Yes, it's good for you to pray with us. It's good for you to pray for us for the openings and the outreaches. It's good for you to pray about the home cells. It's good for you to pray about the youth and to pray about the Sunday school and the women's ministry, the man's ministry. It is good prayers, but we also need you to become active. You also need to have a desire like Paul that says, I want to be with you. Come on. This message, God is encouraging us as we're building the vision of the ministry, and we are trusting God to build his church, but God is looking for those who will be actively involved in the assignments of the church. Come on, we shouldn't just pray, but we should have a desire to be part of what God is doing. We shouldn't just pray and let others be used of the Lord, but genuine desire opportunities to be used of the Lord ourselves. That should be our desire. That should be the heart's cry. That should be the cry of our hearts, is to be also used of the Lord. When God presents those opportunities, we ought to seize them and engage in the labor of the Lord. When God opens up an opportunity for you to serve, when there's an announcement made for people to be in certain activities or so forth, you need to be there. I love it the other day when we put a notice on our church group concerning an outreach program that we had. Some of the people came from other areas. They came to be a part of the outreach program, and they were part of what the Lord was doing. And that excites me as a pastor, when you see people coming and people are so interested to be a part of the harvest field, because they understand there's going to be a payday. There's going to be a payday, because we're putting the sickle into the harvest. There's great rewards awaiting you. And so we need to have this genuine desire that Paul had. Not only do I pray for you, but I want to come to you. Not only am I praying for my neighbor, not only I are praying for the lost. Not only am I praying for the schools, but we are getting actively involved. We are going. We have just come to be a part of the school in our area. We are going to them. We are ministering the word of God to them because we are believing that God does not only want us to pray, but God wants us to be involved. Hallelujah. Listen what Paul begins to say further in verses 11 to 13. These verses now reveal the genuine desire and Paul's thoughtfulness concerning the church in Rome. In verse 11, he speaks about the gift, a gift, a gift. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. I doubt any would have enjoyed debating with Paul on any of the theological or doctrinal issues. He was a man of wisdom and great, great knowledge. However, this doesn't reveal arrogance from Paul, but a genuine desire to share what he had received from the Lord. He wanted to give himself for the greater good of the church. We are not here to display what we know and come and show off with our knowledge. And this is what Paul is trying to teach us. It doesn't mean we have a Bible school doctrine, we understand it and all of that, and we have this degree and that degree. That wasn't Paul's heart. Paul wanted to come share because he wanted to see people grow. Therefore, we have discipleship class, and we have all these classes, mentorship classes, and all of that. It's not a desire to come to put my knowledge on display. It's my desire to see you succeed. It's to see somebody succeed. And that is what we desire. Lord, give us this heart that Paul carried. My God, give us this heart that Paul had. He received this from the Lord and he wanted to make it known. He knew he received it freely and he wanted to give it freely. He knew God had blessed him and he wanted to share his gifts with those in Rome. He desired to help equip them in their faith so they could be stronger and so they can overcome and they can stand against the works of the kingdom of darkness. Oh God, I thank you for opening up doors. I thank you for creating opportunities for us to share your word in the community, in our schools, wherever we can go, in our old age homes. We want to go forth and declare the word of the Lord, regardless of who we are. Each of us has something to contribute to the body of Christ. We all have gifts. God has given each and every one of us a gift. And therefore, I believe that he has given us gifts and he wants us to use those gifts for the glorification of his kingdom. We all are gifted in some way and we ought to be our desire to share what God has given us for the encouragement and advancement of the church. We all have gifts. The Bible says gifts to serve, gifts to encourage. There's gifts, those who have a gift to give. There's people that has gifts, different gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are different gifts in the word of God, and we should maximize those gifts for the glory of God. We should use those gifts. Sometimes we are sitting there on the sideline looking at things not working. Can they not do this in the ushering? Can they not do this in the worship team? But you sitting there with a gift and you're not contributing your gift to the church, you're not contributing your gift to the work of the ministry, and you criticize, and your Paul's gift was there, and Paul said, listen, I want to come and share my gift with you. We should have that desire to be available for God, and we should have a desire to maximize our giftings for the kingdom so that God can be glorified in everything that we do. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to praise God in the name of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't keep our gifts to ourselves, but we should share them with others. Come on. We need people to get up. Arise. 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 You take care of God's business. And I tell you, God will definitely take care of your business. It's time for you to get busy and active in the things of God. The next thing Paul speaks about is grace. He speaks about grace. And we have been speaking about grace for the past 2 to 3 weeks now. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. The giant of the faith actually desired to fellowship with the believers in Rome. Look at the humility in this man of God. Look at the humility. Here's a man that had revelation encounters, even heavenly encounters. But yet Paul still says, listen, man, I want to come have fellowship with you. I want to come and have time out with you. He longed to find strength and comfort from those of like faith. He doesn't present his desire simply to come and share his wealth of knowledge or address his difficulties within the church. Paul wanted to share with them in the faith and grow personally through personal relationship with them. They would both benefit greatly from the time spent together. That's what we're here to fellowship. Iron sharpens iron. That's what Paul wanted to do. Paul wanted to come and be even blessed by them because they also had things to share with Paul. And Paul would be encouraged and would take these testimonies to other churches and he would encourage. And that is what we are here for in the kingdom. We're not here to be the majors and the major ones and whatever they call themselves today. We are here to come and be a blessing to one another. Come on, somebody needs to say amen. I've said this many times that I'm thankful for the church. We need each other. We can gain wisdom and comfort from one another. Each of us has something to contribute to the work of the ministry. And we benefit from working together. We benefit truly from working together. We can do this work together, church. That's why my prayer is not always, Lord, send in more people. I say, Lord, send in, bring visitors. Lord, let visitors become members and let members become active members. This is always my prayers so that we can have a church of people where we will have departments so full that it will be said, we don't need people anymore. Rather go there because there's a shortage. We want that type of thing where people are so hungry to work for God and that our apartments will be overflowing with people so that we can put people in other places to serve, and so that the church can move forward together. We want to have home cells in every street in the Strand. We want to reach every place in the Strand. We want to reach all the schools, but we need people that are going to work with us and that's going to make the burden lighter. Listen to what Paul says in verse 13. He says his goal was, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. As of yet, Paul had not allowed Paul to come to the church at Rome, but he genuinely desired to do so. He was praying toward that end and longed to share in their work, seeking to produce additional fruit alongside them. He had worked with many other churches and had longed to labor with them in their efforts as well. This speaks volumes to us. Paul wasn't seeking fame or fortune. He just wanted to reach the lost for Christ. If he could be a help to the church in Rome in any way, he longed for it. If I said to my project manager, I said to the project manager in the church, I said to him, let's go out there. Let's go and set some churches on fire. Let's go and yell pastor, said the evangelist, and yell them do outreaches. Let's go out there and do kingdom work. That is my desire. I want to see this. That's why we want to have fire conferences. We want to go where people are lacking in the work of the Lord. And we want to go there not to go and display our gifts and our talents, but we want to go there to stir up their desire for the work of the Lord, their desire for the kingdoms, for the things of the kingdom. And that is our desire. It's my desire. Therefore, we have this discipleship classes. And I say, bring people from other churches. You go back and be a blessing at your church. It's our greatest desire. And so when we look at Paul, we understand that Paul carried this great desire. And this should be our desire also. It wasn't about who gets the credit or recognition. We are not engaged in competition to see who shines the brightest. We are co-laborers in the work of the Lord. The end goal for each of us should be fruit produced for the kingdom. When you have a kingdom mind, it's about kingdom. We want to see more and more people coming into the kingdom of God. Listen to Paul as we conclude now in Paul verse 14 and 15. Paul was excited about the work they were engaged in and potential of joining them, but he doesn't fail to share truth as he greets them. Listen to what he says. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul knew that his work wasn't limited to Jerusalem, Corinth, Thessalonica, or Macedonia. Therefore, we say we are a global church. We are reaching a global community. We are not just a Strand-based church. We are not just a one-city-based church. We want to reach the world. And I believe that God has called us for the nations. He had preached the gospel to many in various parts of the world, but there was much yet to be done. Paul was indebted to share Christ with all he could, wherever the Lord allowed him to travel. We should feel the same like Paul. We are indebted to share Christ for the goodness that Christ has been for us, what he has done for us. We have to tell the world. We cannot keep it. We need to shout it from the rooftops. When he arrived in Rome, his ministry would not be reserved for only the wealthy and educated. He desired all to hear Christ and of his saving grace. Paul wanted to let everybody know about the God whom he served. He wanted everybody to hear about this great and awesome and mighty God. And this should challenge us as well. Sometimes we tend to gravitate to those whom we perceive as receptive or those who we think look as if they would fit in within our churches. We're not called to reach only those who look like we do or think like we do. We are called to share the gospel with the world, regardless of their appearance, social status, race, ethnic, or religious backgrounds. The Bible says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak I became as weak, that I may gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Over the years of evangelism, we went into the most poorest of poorest places. I remember being in Kenya, and we went into these valleys and into these villages where there were poor, poor people. And we would share the gospel with these people and the excitement that they had burning in their heart. And I used to, when we sat with them, and I'd think about them, I think about the great missionaries today in the Heidi Baker, if I'm correct, her name is Heidi Baker, but she's doing an amazing work. If I think it's in Madagascar, she's reaching people. I mean, the people that went amongst the poor, they come as them, and they do not come into these places looking high and mighty, but it says we became poor. When we work with the drug addicts, when we work with people in our communities, we cannot want to look high and mighty. We need to humble ourselves. Therefore, when we have these open ears and we're reaching these people, we must hug these people and love these people. We must love these people. I remember some time ago we had an open end, an outreach program, and we were praying for people and they were weeping. And I remember hugging a person that was weeping. And afterwards I had all the mucus on my jacket. But you know, it's the love for the gospel, the love for the gospel, the love for the gospel. Yet preaching the good news is not something we can boast about. But Paul says, I'm compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. He says, I'm compelled. It's not something I boast about because I'm doing it. We're having all these openness, outreach programs, whatever we're doing for Jesus. But we have this great desire to do it for God. Hallelujah. And Paul says, how terrible if I didn't preach the gospel. So church, we need to preach the message. It needs to be like burning fire that is shut up in my bones. Verse 15, Paul says, I am ready. The word he uses there in the King James, I am eager. I am ready. A writer said, Spurgeon wondered if Paul didn't use the words, I am ready, as his motto. Almost the first words out of his mouth when he was saved were, Lord, what do you want me to do? The question should be ours today also, that during the service, in your heart, it must burn. Lord, what do you want me to do? I remember a lady came to me at the outreach the other day. She said, Lord, the Lord touched my heart. I want to be a help to certain people and certain groups of people, because something burned within her heart. When Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ, there was a burning in his heart. And the question he asked, what do you want me to do? Paul was ready to preach and to serve. Paul was ready to suffer. Paul was ready to do unpleasant work. Paul was ready to die. He was ready to die. I read the story of a Moravian missionary. A Moravian missionary was about to be sent by Zinzendorf to preach in Greenland. He had never heard of it before. But his leader called him and said, Brother, will you go to Greenland? He answered, Yes, sir. When will you go? When my boots come home from the cobbler. And he did go as soon as his boots came home. He wanted nothing else but just that pair of boots. And he was ready to go. Paul, not even one waiting for his boots to come home from the cobbler, says, I am ready. Oh, it is grand to find a man so little and tangled that he can go where God would have him to go and go at once. There's a call. There's a call today, a clarion call, that we need to go as the Lord leads us, that we need to go where the Lord wants us to go, that if God has given us a mandate for our community, for our society, yes, you might face attacks. Yes, you might face some hindrances, but go, no matter where you find yourself, in your city, in your street, go, for God is calling us to preach the gospel, church. We must be ready. We must be ready to preach the gospel. We must be like Paul, who was ready to preach the gospel to those in Rome, said Newell. This boldness, talk of your brave man, your great man, O world. Where in all history can you find one like Paul? Alexander, Caesar, Napoleon marched with the protection of their armies to enforce their will upon man. But Paul was eager to march with Christ alone to the center of this world's greatness, entrenched under Satan with the word of the cross, which he himself says to the Jews, an offense, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. He was ready to go. He was ready to go. Yes, we need to go. We need to go. Church, go. We need to take this gospel. We need to take this message. May it burn like fire that is within us. May it burn like fire that is shut up in our bones. Hallelujah. We do not suppose that Paul guessed that he would be sent there at the government's expense, said a writer, but he was. He was. The Roman Empire. Now, I'm just going to say this again. We do not suppose that Paul guessed that he would be sent there at the government's expense, but he was. The Roman Empire had to find a ship for him and fit escort for him. And he entered the city as an ambassador in bonds. When our hearts are set on a thing and we pray for it, God may grant us the blessing, but it may be in a way that we never look for. You shall go to Rome, Paul, but you shall go in chains. We shall go. Sometimes, I mean, I had a desire for the gospel to reach the nations, South Africa. But who knew that I would end up in Cape Town? I never thought that Cape Town will be one of my doors that I will come through and go to the nations. I never thought that. Therefore, God's ways are not our ways. Neither his thoughts our thoughts. But God is saying, are you ready? Are you ready, church? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to proclaim? Like Jeremiah was facing a lot of persecution. But he said, you this one, and I want to read this verse. Let's read Jeremiah. I think it's 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I love this verse. Listen to this verse. As we come to a conclusion. Hallelujah. 20 and verse 9. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name, that in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. It was like fire. Paul said, you know, I'm in chains, but the word is not in chains. So wherever he found himself, he preached. He even says in the book of Philippians that he impacted the whole Roman guards knew about Paul. They knew about Christ. So even though he was in chains, yet he preached. Even though you find yourself in places that you cannot understand why you are here now, in the season of your life, come on, preach Jesus Christ. Make him known in that job that you sometimes feel that I don't want to be here anymore, but God has you there for a reason. Make Christ known. Make your Savior known. Preach the gospel. Let people know about your Savior. Let people know about your God. Let people know about your Christ. Let people come into the understanding and the knowledge of Jesus. Be ready at the beck and call of God. God is calling us today in these last days. The hours and the seconds are ticking away to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very soon we will be raptured and be taken away. We need to preach the gospel. We must make Christ known. We need to make Christ known to this generation. We need to make Christ known to this, to for this time. We need to go. We need to be like the guy that said, I'm just waiting on my boots. But some of us need to be ready when God calls us to an assignment. When God called me back 17 or so years ago, God called me when I was working at Absa. God said, I've called you for an assignment. And I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. When we read the life of the Apostle Paul, we understood that he came with many trials and tribulations, but he never stopped Paul from preaching. Jeremiah's story tells us it came with trials and tribulations, but he kept speaking the word in the midst of opposition. It's time for us to share the gospel. God will anoint you to speak. You'll be like Moses that said, I cannot speak, but God will anoint you to speak. God will put these words in your mouth. God will give you the words that you need to. Some of us were not born public speakers, but the anointing has come upon us to speak the word of God, to share the word of God. Come on, Moses, deliver my people. God will use you for his glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Paul's desire for the Roman church is undeniable. He longed to come to them in order to share with them and enjoy their labors together. He knew they would both benefit from working together in ministry. True to his calling, Paul's focus on sharing the gospel. There were many believers strong in the faith already there, but he knew the harvest was plenteous. He couldn't wait to arrive in Rome and preach the gospel. And this message should stir our hearts and challenge us in our efforts for the Lord. We are blessed of the Lord and have the potential to reach the masses for Christ. It will require that we work together. It will require a corporate effort. I desire one day, one of my desires one day is in the city, even in the city of Strand, is that we would raise up so many home cells that at one Saturday, we will get out and at a specific time, 1 o'clock, let's say 1 o'clock in the afternoon, every home cell in the area must have an open air. Every home cell in the area must be reaching souls. Imagine that harvest on that day. Every single home cell filled, or every street is filled with about one home cell and 12 people, or two, three home cells and 12 people in every home cell. And all of us go out at one time. We will evangelize the entire city within a day. Come on. That is my desire. That is the vision that I see. We need to go forth. We need to go forth. We too must sense the need to share the gospel and engage in the efforts. Paul was writing to the church, but he also shared the gospel with them. I'm reminded of the need to share the truth at every opportunity. We are gathered. Many a times we need to just go forth and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're empowered to go forth. We need to share our faith. We need to share our salvation to a lost and dying world. I pray today that the fire, as it jumped from that bush onto Moses, will jump on you. As the fire jumped onto Reinhard Bonnke, as the fire jumped onto the Wigglesworth, as the fire jumped onto George Jeffries, as the fire jumped onto A.A. Allen, as the fire jumped onto Catherine Kuhlman, as the fire jumped onto the generals that has moved and has shaken the world. May that same fire come upon us today. May the fire of God fall upon us, and may there be a desire for the lost like never before. Oh God, come, let us pray this prayer. Say, Father, fill me with a desire for the lost in my city. Fill me with a desire for my lost neighbor. Fill me with a desire for my lost family member. Fill me with a desire. Let I start in my Jerusalem, my Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, fill me with that desire. Lord, fill me with the anointing. Lord, fill me in the name of Jesus. Set my heart ablaze. Set my heart on fire in the name of Jesus. I pray today that the word of God will be like burning fire shut up in your bones in Jesus' name. God bless you. And remember, let's go. Somebody declare, I'm ready in Jesus' name. I'm ready in Jesus' name. Amen.